Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Cascades Church Online. My name is Alex. I'm the pastor of Cascades. Our mission is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus and his way. And we're so glad that you're with us today. We're going to have a time of singing songs of worship, and then we're going to open up our Bibles, and we're going to have some time of communion, and we'll have some community announcements and an offering. And all of these things are meant to be acts of worship and community here at Cascades. And so thanks for joining us. I'm going to hand it off to our worship leader, Jonas. And before I do, I'm just going to pray. God, we welcome you here at this time. We love you and we want to know you. Would you be glorified in all that we do? In your name, amen. Hey, Cascades, just a few announcements to share with you. The first is this. If you want to stay in the loop and you don't know how to, go to our website. Go down to the very bottom of cascadeschurch.ca, and there you'll see a button that says subscribe to our newsletter. And there you'll be able to just get weekly emails about what's going on in the life of our church. So I encourage you to check that out. Additionally, on Wednesday at 12 p.m., we're going to do a prayer walk in our neighborhood. Our heartbeat is to be a people who pray together. And so we're going to practice social distance. And we really just want to be people praying and interceding on behalf of our city, asking God to move in our city. If it rains, we're just going to move that same prayer time to Zoom. And so, you know, I encourage you to come and join us. And I would even say this, if you're not really comfortable with praying, or you feel like you don't know how to pray, this is a great place to join us and to learn how to pray. It's just in the context of community, in a safe community with other people who care about you. Additionally, on July 26, we have our AGM, our annual general meeting. This is a members-only meeting, and there's going to be two ways you can join. You can join via Zoom, or you can join in person immediately following our 10 a.m. service. We'll have details about all of that and how that'll work out. But the two things to know is we're going to be voting on our 2019 financial report. We'll also be voting in our directors. And so in the coming days, we'll have a bit more information about that. But please bookmark that date, July 26. Those are all the announcements I have for you. At this time, we're going to take an offering. This is a regular rhythm of worship here at Cascades. And this is for those who call Cascades home. We want to be a people who live out the very generosity that Jesus has shown us by laying his life down. And so we don't want to hold tightly to the things that we have. We want to actually hold them with an open hand and say, Lord, would you use them for your kingdom and glory here on earth? And so I'm going to pray for that right now. God, I just pray saying, use what is given in this moment for your glory and your kingdom. I pray for those that give, that they would give cheerfully, and Lord, that you would bless them as they give. I also just pray that for those who are just going through a rough time right now financially, God, would you just continue to demonstrate your grace and sustain them, and if there's a way our church can walk alongside with them, help us to do that. I pray these things today in your name. Amen. At this time, we're just going to have a couple minutes for you to be able to do that, but we also just encourage you to just hop on the chat feature of our church online and talk with one another. Hey, welcome to the teaching portion of Cascades Church Online. Today, we're carrying on in our series called How to Neighbor. We've looked at race and reconciliation. We're looking at empowering the poor last week. And today, we are looking at loving the lonely. And this series has been inspired by a guy named Craig Rochelle. And I just want to acknowledge how helpful it's been. And I think it's really relevant for where we are at right now in our culture. And loving the lonely, I think with everything that's gone on related to COVID, I just think it's a really pertinent topic. And so we're going to talk about that today. And one thing that's really interesting about loneliness is we generally don't like to think of ourselves as lonely. We usually think about other people as being lonely. And we think maybe it's someone who's lost their spouse or someone who, you know, is recently divorced or lives on their own, you know. Maybe it's someone who, you know, is just a little bit grumpy and they tend to like, don't want to be around many people. And like, yeah, they're probably kind of lonely. And we don't know. But I've noticed I don't always like to think about myself as being lonely because that kind of hurts once you acknowledge it, right? Oh, I kind of feel lonely. But I think with COVID, before where we'd have these brief moments of loneliness, I think we're experiencing this intensification of it. And I think the church needs to be part of a solution, part of actually responding to it and loving our neighbors. And one of the things that's been fascinating is if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it describes God creating everything, the whole cosmos. And after each day, God said whatever he made was good. But the very first thing that God says that is not good is for man to be alone. And I think the reason God does that is because he is relational in his being. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they exist. They're the triune God. It's the triune God who exists in community. And when God makes humanity, he makes humanity in his image. So we are relational as well. We were meant to live in community. And loneliness, it comes up in ways where we wonder, like, does someone really care? You know, I feel alone on my own. You know, I don't have someone I can just confide in and share intimacy with or connections with, you know. And today, what I want to look at is how we can do that, how we can love the lonely. And so the way we're going to do that is by looking at the life of Jesus. When we look at Jesus, I think there's three things that we can learn from him. And the first thing is this, is that we can love by listening. When you go to Luke chapter 24, you see a great picture of Jesus loving by listening. In Luke chapter 24, you see that two disciples are walking back from Genesis or from Jerusalem, and they're heading to Emmaus. And as they walk, they're talking about the events of that weekend. And what had happened is that they're walking on a Sunday, and on the Friday, their leader, the one that they believed was the Messiah, had been crucified. Their whole world basically at this point fell apart. Everything that they believed, they thought that the Messiah was going to come and usher in God's kingdom and, you know, get rid of the Roman Empire. And they had to put their hopes in Jesus. And when he died, all of that came crashing down. Now, to make things more interesting, we're going to find out once we keep reading that some of Jesus' disciples had said that he had risen. And they were totally confused by this. And so Jesus appears to them, but they don't recognize him. And he says in verse 17, he says this. He says, "What are you guys discussing together as you walk along?" And they stand still, their faces are downcast. And one of them named Cleopas says, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem right now that doesn't know what happened?" And of course Jesus knows. Of course he knows. And you would think in one sense, like, why doesn't Jesus just reveal himself? Like, guys, come on, like, it's me, Jesus. You don't have to despair anymore. I am risen. You know, but he doesn't do that. You know what he does? He says, "What things?" He actually asks another question. And I think this is huge, because what Jesus does in this moment is he walks along with these disciples in their moment of grief and despair. And he just listens to them. And I think this is what's so vital about listening and loving the lonely. We're just a listening ear. We're not trying to just provide a solution or an answer. We're just listening. And you know, Jesus does afterwards start to actually talk, not just ask questions. But I think there's such an important thing that we need to capture here. And this is posture of listening to understand, not just to basically have a comeback. You know, sometimes you're talking to somebody and you're nodding and just trying to say, yeah, I'm with you. But like, you're already thinking about what you're going to say. You've kind of checked that a little bit. We need to love by listening. And I'll just be honest, this is not an area that I'm really strong in, that I need to grow in. And I am growing in. And one of the great ways that I get to grow in it is in my marriage. Because my wife, Lindsay, she will tell me things and maybe something she's struggling with or discouraged by. And you know what? My mind right away will usually go to, how do I fix this? What's the solution? One of the reasons is actually like, good. It's I hear that my wife is struggling. I want to try to help her through that struggle. But the way that it comes out is actually I push past what she's experiencing and just say, hey, well, let's just do this. And many times, I've learned through failure, she's not actually looking for a solution. She's just looking to be heard, for someone to understand and empathize. So I've had to learn to say things, you know, that I mean, but just to say them like, you know, hey, that must be really hard. I'm sorry that happened. I'm sorry you're going through that. You're feeling that way, you know, and that's it. Not a solution. Husbands, we got to get this, right? Like, we got to, doesn't matter how old you are, I'm pretty sure this is something you're going to be working on. This is growing by listening, you know? So we love by listening. We also can love by making time. We love by with our time. You know, Jesus, his ministry was only about 3 years. Jesus' ministry was only about 3 years. And in that time, he accomplished so much. You know, he poured into 12 disciples. He had, you know, probably like 500 followers or so. He had thousands of people that he fed through miracles. He healed people, you know, of their illnesses. He restored people, cast, you know, evil spirits. Jesus was someone who was constantly in demand. If you read at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus goes very early in the morning to pray. And his disciple Peter starts looking for him, and he says, everybody's looking for you. Where have you been? From the outset of Jesus's ministry, he was constantly in demand, and yet Jesus made time for the lonely. So we will too. We will make time. Let me give you two examples. And if you look at Luke chapter 5, Jesus is there in a house, and he's teaching, and this home is packed. In this home, you got people who are just fascinated by him and want to learn from him. You got Jesus' critics there, the Pharisees, and this home is packed. Around the home is packed, and he's in this town that he hadn't been to before, and people want to hear from him. And these four guys, they hear about it, and they got a friend who's paralyzed, and they want to bring him to Jesus. But this crowd is so big, there's no way they could carry their paralyzed friend on the mat. So they devise a plan. They're going to climb up on the roof of the house. You know, as a kid, I learned about it kind of like picturing it being hay. It probably wasn't hay. It's probably like clay or something like that that they would have like stabbed or cut through. And they drop their friend down in the middle of Jesus's teaching session. And can you imagine what that must have been like for Jesus? You're talking and you're hearing maybe some thumps or something up above. And then next thing you know, you got like dust and dirt falling on your face. And what do you do in that moment? Well, Jesus, he doesn't get angry that he's being interrupted. He doesn't even call them out for damaging someone else's home. He actually heals the man. And he recognizes that there's a bit of a criticism going on amongst the Pharisees. And he says, look, like, what's harder, to heal or to forgive? And he forgave the man and he healed him. He made time for this man. And this man, because he was healed, was able to be living his life in community. He had his friends that helped him. But you know what? There's another example. If you go to Mark chapter 5, for whatever reason, both of these are in chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee and he gets off. And when he gets off the boat and starts walking, there is a huge crowd of people who are waiting for Jesus. And one of the people that are waiting is this guy named Jairus. He's one of the leaders of the local synagogues. And he comes up to Jesus and says, I need you to come with me. My daughter is sick and she's going to die. And Jesus, whatever his plans were in that moment, he says, okay, like, let's go. So he starts walking with Jesus, but that crowd's still there and they're pressing up upon Jesus as they go. And something happens. Someone touches him and he experiences power go out of him. And so he literally stops and says, who touched me? And his disciples turn to him and like, Jesus, like, we're surrounded by people. Obviously pre-COVID, right? And so they're like, look, you're surrounded by people, man. Why are you worried about who's touching you? And he asked, who touched me? And the woman who touched him came out and confessed it was me. And Jesus stops in that moment and he doesn't condemn her for touching him, for interrupting him. You know what he says? He's like, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. But the thing gets even more interesting because if you keep reading in that story, some of Jairus's people come from the house and say, guys, Jairus, Jesus, you're too late. Your daughter has died. And Jesus turns to Jairus. And I just want you to think about Jairus in this moment. Jesus, you know, Jairus interrupted Jesus. Jesus is interrupted on the way to helping Jairus heal his daughter, right? And because of that interruption, I wonder if Jairus is like, my daughter's died, and he's just devastated, and he's feeling this feeling of like of his worst fears have come to fruition. And at the same time, he's also feeling, maybe starting to feel a little bit angry or confused that we didn't make it in time. Like, I got the one who could heal my daughter, and yet he didn't get there in time. And Jesus just says, don't be afraid. And just believe. And you know, Jesus ends up walking, and when he gets there, people are crying because they believe the daughter has died. And he's like, she hasn't, she's just asleep. And he goes up and he heals her. And what I find fascinating about Jesus is he's one who's constantly in demand, yet he's not irritable. Man, for me, that's conviction, right? But think about that. He's constantly in demand, but he's open to these interruptions. Henry Nouwen, he said this, I used to complain about all the interruptions to my work until I realized that these interruptions were my work. And I think Jesus, he was so fiercely present to the moment and so mindful and aware of what God, his Father, was doing around him, that these things that appeared as interruptions, he recognized were invitations from his Father to be part of what he wanted to do. And I think you and I, as his followers, need to embrace that we will love through time, and we will actually welcome those interruptions, and we'll learn to do that. You know, when I was painting one day, I was driving down 152nd out in Surrey, and I don't know, I must have not been paying attention, and I quickly slammed on my brakes, and I realized that I wasn't going to have enough time to stop without rear-ending the car in front of me. So I swerved to the right. And normally there's a shoulder on the road, but on this one, there was just a ditch. And my car ended up, when I stopped, it ended up kind of teetering so that I only had like 3 points of contact. One of the tires, either the one that was hanging over the ditch or the one in the back, wasn't quite touching. And it was pretty sketch. And I remember I climbed out my window, and I was with my buddy. He climbed out of the window too. And the craziest thing happened. Two random strangers, one going on the opposite direction, pulled over. One guy just came out and said, hey, like, do you guys need a hand? And I said, yeah, I'm kind of stuck, don't know what to do. And he's like, well, you know, I could help you. And I'm like, well, how? He's like, well, I got some rope, we could try to, like, you know, do something. And just as he's offering his rope, this guy was a roofer, and he was driving, you know, I was driving north, he was heading south. He stopped and said, hey, do you guys want me to pull you out? Just throw the rope on. And so next thing, we've got these two strangers that are working together, and who was it? Kenny, he actually had texted him, told him what had happened. He had turned around, driven back, and got in my car because I was kind of like rattled, and he basically guided it out while these two other strangers helped, you know, move my car out. And if you think about that, all these people demonstrated in that moment of need love and care. They made time, even though a couple of them I didn't even know. You know what it communicated to me, though, is that I wasn't alone in my moment of need, because they were willing to be interrupted. Kenny didn't make a big deal about it. These two guys, that, you know, they were going home, and it was the end of the day commute. Last thing you want to do is be interrupted, but that's exactly what they did. They welcomed the interruption. And because of that, I was told I wasn't alone. So I don't know what it is for you, but I just invite you to make some time. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a social distance walk. Maybe it's a driveway visit or something like that. But make time for that person or people that have come to mind throughout the past few months and you just keep meaning to, but you don't get to. See, often we let the urgent take our attention and crowd out the important. But those relationships matter. So I invite you this week to reach out to some people that you need to, that maybe you've been needing to or wanting to for a while, and you just keep putting it off. This is the week. Finally, the last way we show concern, the last way we show love is by showing genuine concern. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is talking about Timothy, and he says this. He says, I have no one else like him, him being Timothy, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, but not those of Jesus Christ. Let me read that to you again. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Verse 21, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Everyone looks out for their own interests, but not those who follow Jesus. And this Timothy, he will show genuine concern for your welfare. And what I was thinking about this is what Jesus' followers are called to. And this is how we will love the lonely, is by demonstrating genuine concern for their welfare. And this can show up in time. It can show up by listening. It can show up through acts of kindness. You know, I've had people drop off a bag of muffins for my family, and it's just been a quick way they've expressed care. We've had people give gifts to our kids because they know that they've been cooped up more often, and especially with this rain, it's been a lot harder, right? And it's been a way they've said, look, we care. We care about your welfare. We know that this must be hard with young children, and we're reaching out to you in these ways. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe you got to FaceTime someone and just say, I was just thinking of you, and I just wanted to make sure you know that I care about you. How are you doing? You know what? How are you and Jesus doing right now? How has COVID impacted your health? I just want to know what's going on with you. I encourage you to, we need to be a church that genuinely loves one another and shows that care. And why do we do this? Well, we do this because Jesus did that for us. Jesus is the one we follow. He's the one who over and over and over again shows this genuine love and care for humanity. And you know what? This is costly. One of the things that I've realized is that loneliness, it's so easy when you're down to get consumed in it and just kind of be in this place of self-pity. And a friend of mine, he told me he goes to another church, and he called up someone in his church just to check in on them. And you know what? They were actually a little bit bitter, because he was the first one that called them from the church, and you know, she was telling him, and he's like, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, like, and they went on to say, yeah, like, you know, no one has called me in this time, and my friend graciously, gently just said, oh yeah, have you called anybody? And the person was kind of surprised and caught off, like, oh no, I haven't. And my friend just said, you know, like, you can also call them too. And you know, what's so important, I think, about care and community is that you have these moments where someone can come and comfort you, but you also need those moments where you need to be challenged, because maybe you have been feeling lonely, and what you need to do is actually pick up your phone and reach out to others. There's a reason why Jesus says to us, it is better to give than it is to receive. And if you're a follower of Jesus, we need to live like that's true, because Jesus teaches us that. And he didn't just teach it, he showed it through his life, because what Jesus gave was his life. He sacrificed his life. It cost him everything to show us his genuine care for our welfare. It cost him everything. Cost him his life on the cross. You know, in Romans, it tells us, by this we know that God loves us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It cost Jesus everything. But you know what? For those of us who say we will follow him, that's the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is our way, and we will embrace it. And we will show that same love by making time to hear people, to see people, by any way we can just show the genuine care for their welfare. You know, that's what we're going to do. I just want to pray for us right now. Maybe for you, you're recognizing you're lonely and you actually need to ask for help. And that's really hard for you because it genuinely is hard when you're in that place to actually draw attention to yourself. But I just want to pray for those of you that are in that place. God, I pray that you would give those of us who feel lonely, who have struggled and just resonate with that, God, would they hear that it's not good for them to be in that place? And I ask that you'd give them the courage to just step out and just reach out to a friend or a family member. You know, if they're online, even to just write on in the chat or click on request prayer and just say, hey, I'm lonely and I just want some prayer. I just want someone to connect with. And Lord, I pray that you would lead them in having the courage to actually be able to do that. May you comfort them, Lord. I also just want to pray for those who need God to just show them and show them who it is that they need to show love to and care for this week. So God, I pray that you would be making clear right now, would you just give people names or faces of people that you want them to love? That you want them to just show love through maybe time or listening or care. And I pray, God, that you would give them the commitment to follow through this week in doing that. Well, we're going to take a time now of communion. We're going to take a time of communion. And in communion, we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you have been feeling alone from God. And you know what? Really, that shouldn't be a surprise to us if we're followers of Jesus, because we understand that sin separates us. That sin separates us from God, that every single one of us, we have sinned. And so that intimacy that we long for with the divine, with God, is fractured. But we know that while we were sinners, Christ came and died for us. And when we put our trust in Jesus, our faith in Him, and what He accomplished on the cross and in His victorious resurrection, we are actually reconciled to God. See, Jesus was made alone on the cross. On the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, in that moment, for the very first time in his life, experienced being alone. He experienced that loneliness. And the reason he did was because he was taking our sin upon himself. The consequences of sin is that separation, alienation from God. And what Jesus does on the cross is he takes the consequences of that upon himself. And what he does is he makes this great, beautiful exchange where the life he lived, his righteousness, he gives to us so that you and I can be reconciled to God. We can become children of God, adopted into his family. We never have to be alone because he gives us the Holy Spirit who comes and makes his home in us. And in communion, we celebrate this union that we have with God, that we are in Christ. So right now, I'm going to pray, and I invite you to go and get your bread and your juice ready so that you can eat in your household together. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus who reconciled us to you. I pray, asking that in this moment, as we take this bread and juice, we ask that you would meet us in a special way. Would you remind us that we are not alone, but you have come to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And you've given us your Spirit, who makes his home in us. We pray that if there's any sin we just need to confess and bring it to you, would we do that right now? If there's anybody we need to reconcile with, would you lead us in reconciling with them? We want to feast and meet with you now. So God, we pray, giving you thanks for this gift of communion. In your name, amen.